This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Aileen Drexler.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I'm on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm your host, Aileen, and today's Dear DST episode is very exciting. I am joined by Dylan Hafer, pop culture enthusiast, face behind at Bravo by Betches, and the host of the Mention It All and Pop Alarm podcasts. What's up, Dylan? Welcome.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. It feels like a long time coming.
I know. I was just on Bravo by Betches and we talked all things Bravo. And now you're here. This is great.
Here I am on DST. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk? So there's a lot of stuff in pop culture on Real Housewives in New Jersey with Jackie talking about her eating disorder, with Teresa and her lines, just even in that area. There's a lot to talk about, but in general, we have been talking about how there's a lot of fat shaming and fat phobia going on in pop culture, and we wanted to kind of just talk about it. But before we get into that, we obviously have to do some non-scale wins. Dylan, I am so excited to hear yours.
Okay, so this, I wouldn't say it's a non-scale win of the week, but maybe just of like how I've been doing lately. I feel like I have gotten into a better place of when I'm getting dressed. I used to be really focused on like getting dressed to look thinner. Mm-hmm. Lately, it's like when I'm getting dressed, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like more focused on looking put together or like if I like the way the outfit looks on me versus dressing for a specific goal of, does this make my arms look whatever? Does this make my legs look, you know, like I feel like it's just, I'm thinking less about my body underneath the clothes and more about how I think the clothes themselves look.
And how you present rather than like how you're making yourself look smaller or hiding rather.
Yeah. If you're getting dressed with the goal of like appearing thinner than you are or like some made up idea of like looking quote unquote better, I feel like other people don't actually see that when they see you. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh my gosh, she wore the sweater that makes her stomach looks small.
Like, yeah.
And I don't know. So I think it's just like a better place to be in.
How did you get to this place? Like what's been going on?
I don't know. I feel like the last couple months, I feel like I've just been like enjoying life. I don't know. I've been saying yes to a lot of things in 2022. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's like trickling down into my feelings about myself. I don't know.
It's not so inspiring.
It's definitely not a place of like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with my body and I feel like I look perfect, but it's like, I feel like I'm not thinking about it as much.
That's great. And nobody walks around being like, I am obsessed with my body. Like nobody does that. Even people who we think are saying that are not saying that. So right. I guess that's great. I'm going to have to take some advice because, you know, it's a struggle. But my non-scale win is literally so superficial. It is not deep at all, but I am still going to talk about it because I'm very proud of myself. Okay, so I'm going to shock you. I have not gotten one of my eyebrows plucked by a professional since Q1 of 2020. So pre-pandemic, probably like the end of 2019. And I, all through the pandemic, my eyebrows were just, you know, And I was like, oh, I could do it myself. No big deal. Nope. I made them completely uneven and I stare at myself in the Zoom and it's making it worse through pregnancy. Oh, they got bushier. I finally went. I gave in. I was like, you know, somebody else could do a better job than me. And I gotta say, it really, really helps my mood. Wow. I look in my mirror and I'm like, oh, wow, this is something that's actually been bothering me for so long. I did not realize it's on my face. These like two hairy lines above my eyes, actually, they make a huge difference in how you, I mean, we're looking at ourselves 24/7 in these Zooms. So like that's all you could see or I see. So I went and I am very happy.
I love that. I feel like with things like that, it feels superficial to be like, I'm so sad I haven't gotten my eyebrows done. We like tell ourselves that it's that we don't care or that it's not a big deal because it feels like it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But then like I'll do that sometimes, like I'll put off like getting a haircut because I'm just like, it's like I don't have time this week or like it's a hassle or whatever. And then it's like once I actually get the haircut, I'm like, oh, I feel like I look so much better. And like it radiates out. Like I'm more excited about going out or like getting dressed or whatever. And it's like, oh, I should actually prioritize that.
I forgot how good it makes me feel. It's not how good I look. It's how good it makes me feel. I have grays, you know, popping out like it's Grey's Anatomy over here. And I finally got my hair colored after months and months and months and months. Because I was like, oh, you know, I'll just part it to the left. But like, that's all I was focused on. And now I'm like here with my middle part, my brows. You're seeing this best version of Aileen right now. So
you're ready for like a hot Aileen summer.
A hot Aileen summer. Oh my God, with Lindsay. Hot hub summer. I need that. Hot Drek summer. That's me. It's hot lean summer. I'm down for it. So we talk about. Actually, I'm going to plug an episode that I already recorded that's going to be coming out. I talked to my friend Liza, who's a stylist, and we talked all about how like getting a piece of clothes, while it sounds superficial, but it really just, it permeates in all of the pieces of your life. You walk down the street with confidence. You're more confident to talk to a person that you normally would be like, oh, so sorry. But you might say, hello, my name is. When you have something like a new piece of clothes that you feel just makes you feel not, it's not smaller, but just like yourself, right?
Yeah. And like more, you feel more like presentable to the world when you're like, I know these jeans that I'm wearing look really good. Or like, I know my hair looks so fresh and like whatever, like you just feel like you're kind of the best version of yourself. And I don't think it's not like about whether you're like looking thinner or anything. It's like, no, totally. I just feel like I look correct.
Yeah. And I sometimes grapple with the, you know, I go back and forth with like, ugh, why do I give a fuck about what people think of me versus, oh, but this actually makes me feel good. But does it make me feel good because it's a way that I think that others perceive me? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's hard because obviously I think it's tempting to try and have the mindset that's like, I don't give a fuck about what people think about me. And I think you can go in that direction. Like you can work toward that. But I think to me, it feels very unrealistic to actually fully like free yourself of that mindset of what other people think about you. But I do think you can kind of turn that on its head that it's like, if I know that I'm being the best version of myself, then I can assume that other people are going to notice that and maybe respond well to that. So it's not necessarily that I'm like hyper focused on what they're thinking about me, but it's just like, I know that I'm killing the game or that I feel like I'm looking my best. So other people are going to notice that too. So I feel like it's all just wrapped up in your self-image. Whether or not you're kind of projecting it onto other people, it's like starting point is from within you.
Right. Yeah, I agree. The way that I kind of counterbalance those thoughts is I remind myself like we humans are like as a species, like we're supposed to be in a community. And like, of course, other people's thoughts are always, we're never going to be like just people who just walk and like don't care about anybody else's perception. I just said perspective. We're not going to never walk the streets and be like, I don't care what that person thinks of me. It's less about that and more about focusing why you're doing certain things and like, am I wearing this for somebody else or am I wearing this for me? And that's where I kind of, how I get back to the being present in realizing like, I'm doing this for me. This isn't for the rest of the world. Yeah, sure. Maybe I think I care about what you think of me, but it's not going to dictate my life. It's not going to change what I do.
Right. You can save room for that perspective without building your whole self-worth around it.
Totally. Well, that was fun. Let's do a listener non-scale win. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. Hi, Aileen. I started listening to DST in January 2021 and quickly binged every single episode from the podcast beginning within a few months. Despite being a longtime listener, I've never written in before. But I realized that I have a non-scale win that I just had to share with you. Rather than a single moment, this non-scale win is more about a mindset shift that I've noticed in myself over time. I've pretty much always had a positive relationship with my body growing up until the start of the pandemic over 2 years ago. I decided that I would use our quick, quote, 2 week lockdown, LOL, what a joke, to develop, she wrote LOL, what a joke, to develop some healthy eating and exercise habits. Over the months and now years of the pandemic, those healthy eating and exercise habits rapidly developed into an extremely unhealthy relationship with food and my body. But here's where the win comes in. I used to constantly body check every time I passed a mirror or any sort of remotely reflective surface. Even in public restrooms, I would lift up my shirt and flex my abs to make sure that they were still visible. I would do this all day, every day, although I definitely still have a ways to go in terms of my relationship with food and my body. I have noticed that I rarely ever body check anymore. This may sound like a tiny win, but to anyone who has been the victim of incessant body checking, they probably know how big of a deal this is. I hope to continue to improve my relationship with my body, but in the meantime, I'm happy to celebrate the cleared headspace that is no longer used for checking up on the status of my body throughout the day. Sincerely, a non-body checking bitch. This is a really big win. It's not tiny.
Yeah, I like that. Also, I like that she acknowledges at the beginning that she's always had a pretty positive relationship with her body growing up, and that the pandemic was kind of like this starting point of like developing unhealthy habits. Because I feel like the last 2 years have been, you know, so hard on everyone in different ways that it's like, even if you didn't necessarily have those issues before, they can like crop up kind of before you even realize it.
Yeah. And I remember there was a time in my life where I literally would walk by my like super reflective building when I, back in the day, lived in Williamsburg, and I would constantly body check myself. And I knew during that time when I would do it more often, that's when I felt the worst. Like when I feel good or more neutral, I'm not looking. In a reflexive way, not like I'm purposely going to the mirror to look at myself. That's, I just obviously do that. But I remember feeling like kind of shitty and just checking all the time. It's like, oh, are things still like, okay, what are things like? But I hear you. And it's a form of slight torture, I think, to constantly feel that you need to do that or constantly put your eyes on this mirror or whatever it is. So I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
non-body checking batch.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on azoproducts.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Okay, we have our dear DST. It's time. And it has to do with pop culture. And I'm very excited to hear your thoughts, Dylan. All right. Dear DST, this podcast has been so amazing. And you guys always make me feel like I'm listening to close friends having a positive body conversation. I really love the episodes when you talk about how TV and movies fucked us up. I've been thinking about this a lot lately and how small conversations about women's bodies on TV really shape my own perspective on my body image and self-worth. I couldn't help but think of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And while this really wasn't a TV show or movie at the time, it was so heavily covered in the media and in the news that I felt like it affected me on the same level. Monica's body was so widely discussed. And even as a child, I remember news outlets and even my own parents saying things like, "I don't get why he'd risk it all on her. She's not very pretty and she's overweight." And I think it really stuck with me that the world was so centered around this being her fault and how her appearance wasn't worthy of a scandal. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton is old and not that attractive, but no one was talking about him and almost framing it in a way to say, quote, he could have picked a hotter mistress. I feel like this fucked me up and made me feel like I always had to be skinny and beautiful to be well perceived and worthy, and that even shitty, ugly men still deserved beautiful women. I'm curious, do you think things have gotten better? I feel like there's still a lot of fat shaming that happens on social media and even on reality TV. What are your thoughts? How can we change things so it's better for future generations of not classically, quote, skinny people? Thank you guys for always making me feel good about my body. This podcast is always one of the highlights of my week. Best, a betch who is tired of fat phobia. Well, do you remember this time? Do you remember
the Monica Lewinsky scandal? Yeah. I'm a little young to remember it happening, but I'm very aware of like the situation. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like when you're talking about TV and movies, like stuff that happens in the news and like the media can be just as intense, I think, when it comes to body scrutiny, if not more, because it's all about real people. You know, Monica Lewinsky, when that whole thing was going down, was like, she like 20 years old. Like, she was so young, and like, people were so mean to her, I think, regardless of the particulars of the situation, that I totally understand why that would kind of leave a mark in terms of body image.
Well, yeah. Anytime you sort of, you hear comments about people making about other people, you're not in question here. You take that as a lesson about yourself, about how you should feel about yourself. I remember back in the day when Kim Kardashian was pregnant and she was larger than people were used to seeing pregnant women. And yet she was still wrapping her legs, you know, in the, remember, like, that was the famous like mm-hmm. swollen ankle thing. And I remember thinking like, oh, like, are pregnant women not supposed to be large? Like, and then it really left a mark on me, because I remember then later in my life thinking like, I'm nervous to be pregnant, or I'm not nervous, but I'm worried that on my size body, like, I'm 5 feet, like, oh, I'm not gonna, it wasn't so bad that I wouldn't get pregnant, but I remember thinking like, oh, if that's what people thought of Kim, what are they thinking about literally everybody else? And it affected my thoughts. I wasn't like looking forward to gaining weight during pregnancy, even though it's like a nice thing, like, you know, you're providing for your child, but I was scared. And had that not happened, I don't think I would have felt any of those feelings.
Yeah, because I mean, the whole thing with pregnancy, I feel like more than any other time in your life, it's like, you're not actually in control of that, of like how your body responds to that. And I think that's something to be mindful of whenever somebody's body is a topic of conversation, or if someone gains weight or loses weight or anything like that, is like, you don't know what all factors are contributing to that, whether it's, you know, a medical condition someone has, or a medication they're taking, or mm-hmm. if they're pregnant, or if they're, you know, just going through something. Like, I think we as a society have gotten very comfortable just like commenting on people's bodies. And I think that's something where I feel like there have been improvements in the sense of like, there's more like general awareness that we should be like body positive. Like, I think that as a concept has become more widespread, but I think that hasn't necessarily meant that we stop feeling comfortable commenting on people's bodies or making judgments on people's bodies. Mm-hmm. And I think there's kind of a disconnect between, a lot of people would say that we should be body positive, or would be like, oh yeah, like, it's good to think that way, but that doesn't mean that actually we do that all the time.
I think that the media in general, though, has made strides. I think like the temperature of what's allowed to say about a woman's body has cooled down, in the sense that, or maybe it's heat. I don't even know what I'm going with this analogy in terms of hot or cold, but it's cooled down in the sense like, it's a little bit, it's kind of like not okay to say, to comment on a woman's weight, body, in tabloids, in whatever. It's not something that we do, but right, like you're saying, that still doesn't mean people aren't doing it in private conversations, or thinking it in private conversations. But also, I was a little shocked to see Teresa in Real Housewives of New Jersey, like, just saying that shit about Marge. I was like shocked.
Yeah, it's been rough. So like, if you don't watch the show, there was like a few episodes ago, they were at the softball game and Margaret was wearing leggings, and Teresa was like, well, if she had worn my leggings, her butt wouldn't jiggle so much. Mm-hmm. And then again, on the most recent episode, Teresa, like, they're fighting and Teresa goes into this thing about how Margaret never misses dinner and she always makes sure eat. And it was like, it's just over and over again. And I think that's the kind of thing where, on some level, if you were having a calm conversation, she might know that that's not a good thing to say. But then it's like, the second she wants to be hurtful, it's like, well, let me say some shit about her body. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, even if you know that you shouldn't say it, a lot of people still feel that way, or like have those kind of thoughts, that it's like, oh, the second you don't care about being nice to me, you're going to tell me how you really feel about my body.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that is ever going to change?
I mean, I think we can keep working toward a place where that's like less of a thing. And I do think there are maybe in like younger generations, especially, I feel like, you know, people on a show like that, it's like they're, you know, 40, 50 years old. So whatever, when they were like being conditioned to think about what was beautiful and all of that stuff, it was a long time ago. Whereas like maybe now, if you're thinking about like Gen Z or something, like maybe there's like some better messages happening. But I think it's, I mean, it's just really hard to change people's kind of ingrained thoughts about like thinness being the gold standard. And I think for a lot of people, it's like, that's always going to be their internal thing, that it's like, you're always going to compliment somebody when you think they've lost weight. You're always going to say like, oh, like you look, you know, you look so thin as a compliment and that kind of thing. And like, I think it's just, I don't know, like I think people have a really hard time unlearning that, even if it's like an internal reaction.
I hear that a lot. Like, oh, this person lost weight. I think they look, oh, they look good. But I think that because we're having this conversation, which means there are things that are changing and like we're comfortable having this conversation. Whereas maybe before I wouldn't feel as comfortable having it because the temperature was different, yeah. You know?
I actually feel like that's something that I have gotten better at personally, that I think I used to feel like if I like spoke up about something that was bothering me in terms of like whether there was something like fat shaming or like just like something that wasn't sitting right with me, I felt like I was like acknowledging that I'm not thin by like saying that I care. And that felt like, oh, well, like I don't want to put myself out there because then it's like,
you don't want to put yourself in the center of that conversation. Right.
You're like, oh, well, like that doesn't really bother me because it doesn't apply to me. Where I'm like, if now I feel more like if I'm really trying to like break my internal ideas of associating with like thinness is like better, then I should be speaking up because I really should be like challenging myself to like not be bothered by that association, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes sense. I think also like in terms of representation in television and movies in the past, there's never really been like a main character that was overweight and that wasn't like the topic, you know, it wasn't like, you know, that there's always like a funny fat friend.
Right.
And then you're not discussing like their weight, but if like they're the main character, then that's the struggle that they have. So I think there should be, I hope there will be more like main characters that aren't necessarily like you're saying gold standard, like, that are just thin and also not the topic. You know what I mean? Like that's not the whole storyline.
Yeah. I actually, did you watch the show, the HBO show, Somebody Somewhere that came out a few months ago?
I loved it.
I loved that show. And one thing that like stuck out to me is that Bridget Everett, who is the main character, is like, so great, so funny. It's like so heartfelt. And it's like, she's not a thin person. And that is not what the show is about. And I realized like after a couple episodes ago, I was like, wow, that's so refreshing that it's like, maybe it's not like it's never acknowledged. Like it doesn't have, it's not a secret that she's not thin. Like that's just, it's just, she's there as a person and going through whatever the character is going through. But it's not like, for so long, it's like, if we've had a show that the main character is fat, it's like, the show is about her being miserable because she's fat and like wanting to lose weight.
No, I know. I'm glad you brought that up because I too felt that that was refreshing. The only thing that I would say is that because she was like in middle America, what town was she in?
Like Manhattan, Kansas.
I think that was sort of like the message that there was just like all different types of bodies and people in places. There's more diverse body diversity in places that aren't like Manhattan or LA. Manhattan, New York or LA. But that said, like, I really loved it. I love that. It made me cry like every other episode.
Oh, yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah. I think, and so when you see representation like that, it makes it, it's like so refreshing. But then also you think about like, why does that feel so special to have just like a not thin person on screen living their life? And I think something that I have noticed more in the last few years, or maybe I don't know if it's happening more or if it's just that I'm more like in tune to noticing it, is that thin actors will be cast to play roles that are less thin than they are in real life. And they'll undergo this huge prosthetic transformation. And it's like this big, like, achievement or something that we're acting like. In the Batman movie that just came out, Colin Farrell plays the Penguin and he's like totally unrecognizable.
Yeah, you would never know it was him.
Right. He looks like some like schlubby Italian man and with like balding head and like a belly and whatever. Kind of like Jared Leto in House of Gucci, like similar vibes to that. Oh, yeah. Renee Zellweger just did this show, The Thing About Pam, where she's like a murderer. Same thing where it's like she looks nothing like herself. And like maybe the acting is great, but it's one of those things where it's like, in that situation, I feel like we should be working toward a point where it's like either the weight of the character doesn't matter, and so you shouldn't need all of those prosthetics, or if the weight is really central to the character or you feel like is really the look you want to go for, just like find somebody who looks like that.
Right. By making that statement, they're saying there is not a famous actor, a name
right.
that does.
Right. That it's like, we need somebody to play this woman, Pam. And the you know, the best person we could think of, Renee Zellweger, who is so thin and so beautiful. And we're going to make her sit in a makeup chair for like 7 hours a day to make her look like acceptably not thin and beautiful to play this woman. And it's like, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I don't think anybody should ever wear like a prosthetic whatever, but it's like, it feels like kind of a crutch that it's like, we want to cast who we want to cast because of who they are, but like, we're not going to put any effort into trying to kind of like get closer to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
no, I agree. I would like to see more body diversity in general. And I think also the thing that, not to bring this back to somebody somewhere, but what I also really liked about it is that there was no storyline about her love life that had to do with her body, which is sometimes also a thing. And I don't know if I like, maybe I look for that as a woman, but I, you know, like in the Amy Schumer movie, I Feel Pretty, like, you know, like when you think that you are a skinnier version of yourself, you can find any man.
Yeah.
Confidence or not, like fucking Shallow Hal. Like there's just all this shit about that. And like, I just, that part was also very refreshing to me because it wasn't a thing. Like she wasn't self-conscious about that. And it just like, and she hooked up with that guy or no, he got arrested. I forgot.
Well, yeah, I think like going back to the email that we read about the Monica Lewinsky thing, mm-hmm. that it's like, there is already in the real world, like if you're trying to like date as a person who's not, doesn't have like the ideal standard, like ideal body type, whatever, you already have to deal with that shit on your own. Like it's a real thing that people are, you know, have their preferences of what they're looking for. So then you don't need like on top of that to be seeing in the media, like, oh, why would Bill Clinton go for a woman who has like a little extra weight when he could get a hotter mistress? It's like, we don't need for like TV and movies and like media to be kind of reinforcing that idea that like you should have fewer options if you're a person who doesn't kind of meet that ideal standard of what you look like. It's like, everybody's just trying to do their best, you know, like everybody's just out here trying to like see what they can do. And it's like, leave me alone.
The thing is the reinforcing, and that's a great word for it, because that just reinforces the shame necessary, like for the person who is dating, who may be more into a larger body, right? Like for them, it should be okay socially to date whoever you want and it not be a thing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That made me think of what Remy Bader recently posted. Did you see that TikTok about her being upset about like an altercation she had on the street?
Yeah, that was so intense.
So intense, and it was so upsetting to me to watch because it was one of those things. It was, if you guys didn't see, it was she posted a TikTok talking about how she was filming like this kind of on this like a Billy on the street, but Remy on the street video. Asking people questions about, you know, whatever. And she asks, can I film you? And they say yes. And she has her assistant. And so she went up to this group of guys. She's really happy. She's feeling herself. And they agree to be filmed. She asks them a question. She's being silly, blah, blah, blah. And the guy goes, you know, you should really lose weight. Out of nowhere. Like a verbal assault, kind of like that. Like out of nowhere. And she's like, excuse me? And my stomach like sank from that because it's almost like a fear coming true. This thing like where you walk around, you have confidence, even though in the back of your mind, like these like insecurities might be like, we were talking about what people think of us. And then having somebody literally say that to you and you're just like so taken aback. And it was a group of guys. And then they also like heckled her when she walked away, like laughed. Like saying like it's not healthy or something like that. Is that what she said?
Yeah, it was like, and like jiggle or something. Like,
oh my God. It's literally horrifying. And I'm so sorry to her that that happened because
I know
it like, and she was saying like, oh, my assistant was with me or people are saying, just don't listen to it. But you can't tell someone who's struggling with their own body image. And she's very vocal about that to not listen to that. Because also really relevant conversation was Khloe Kardashian. I don't know. Do I have to say Kardashian? Khloe talking to James Corden or like in that last episode. Did you see that?
I'm not up to date, but I heard about this.
She gets really upset by like people's comments. She doesn't even want to leave the house. And James Corden gives her like a pep talk before the show about how like their opinions of you are not your business. We're here drinking champagne at 4 p.m. and we win. And also he says that those people, the comments, how can they judge you if they don't know you? Like those comments that they talk about you, they have some other perception of you in their head. You are somebody else to them. And those comments are like projecting something else from within them. It has nothing to do with you. And I just thought all of these things happening sort of at the same time, like are converging. And it just, I don't know. It's the thing with Remy hurt my feelings because it took me back to a place like in college when that was my biggest fear.
Well, I think with that, it's like what I was saying earlier about like when I'm getting dressed and I'm not necessarily thinking about what shirt is going to make me look thinner. Like,
right.
Because you're thinking it's like, okay, like nobody else is that focused on what your body looks like. Just wear what you want to wear and that it's not a big deal. And then a story like that just makes just kind of like makes you, your mind go in the opposite direction that it's like, oh no, people are looking at me and being disapproving and judgmental. And it makes you think that it's like, if one person that you went up to on the street was willing to say that out loud to your face, how many other people are having those thoughts when they see you and just being like having enough, you know, social grace not to say anything. And I think that's like, that when you were asking if I think like it's getting better, if we're moving away from that, it's like, I think we're moving to a place where people hopefully in general feel less comfortable saying things like that. But I don't know how much, like real progress we've made in terms of people not thinking like that. And I think it's like harder, like, I mean, I would, if you think I look bad, I would rather you not say it if you're like a stranger on the street.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would even more rather that you not think that in the first place. But like, it's also at a certain point, what can you do? Like,
well,
you can't just like not leave the house because you think somebody might say that you should lose weight. You know,
right,
I don't know.
Right. Well, that's the thing with Chloe is why I thought that advice was actually really good. And the whole like phrase, everybody else's opinion is not your business. It sounds like a catchy phrase, but when he phrased it in that way, like you are somebody else. You are not you to that person making that mean comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of the change, there's a lot more, and the comment, like, it's not healthy. That's not true necessarily. Like, you don't know what's going on. You haven't seen their like blood labs to know if that person is healthy or not. And I think that is a newer perspective that is being shared, especially with the younger generation. And seeing all these body positive or like people in larger bodies getting really good, like Remy Bader, like anybody who's getting these like big roles or getting opportunities, mm-hmm. that while maybe people are still thinking these like older thoughts, what they're seeing now is contradicting those thoughts. So slowly over time, I have a feeling there's going to be change in like people's thought process. Maybe you can't change our parents' generations like ideas.
Right.
Not maybe, just you cannot. But you definitely
can. Your mom is always going to tell you don't need a snack.
No. Our parents' generation, unless you have like a different type of parent, they're thinking like, you know, thin equals better and healthy. Like that's what they've been taught, at least in America. That's just what was in the media. That's just what you heard. But younger people, and I think we're in the middle of like having malleable thought processes, I think that we have the opportunity to change what we say and what we think and we teach our kids and what the younger generation and what happens with them and what they do.
Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with brands being better about making like extended sizes and things like that, that it's like you can, not only does like society feel like it's like more accepting, but also like you actually have the ability to like wear the same clothes as people who are smaller sizes, or like be able to shop places. And like, I know that everybody's talking about the Abercrombie.
I was literally about to say, can we talk?
Yeah. About everybody's talking about the Abercrombie documentary right now. And I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but I actually in the last like year have started shopping at Abercrombie so much. And I love it because they've like done this whole rebrand and they have like much better, they have like a much wider range of sizes now. Their whole thing is not about being like super exclusive anymore. That makes a big difference when you feel like it's like, oh, this is like a store that people like and know. And it's like, oh yeah. And I can just like walk in and shop there. And like that makes a big difference toward not just, you know, like maybe you're not getting like heckled on the street, but if you can't like shop at the same stores as everyone else, it still feels exclusionary. And so I think that's another kind of piece of the puzzle where that's a tangible step of like, we actually are moving toward everybody kind of being like on the same level.
Well, you got to watch the documentary. There's just, it's very, it's short. And some of the things like I just didn't even realize were going on. And I loved going to Abercrombie, but I also didn't fit in everything. And I desperately wanted to. And that was like so part of the mindfuck. Sometimes I felt like I didn't belong there. Sometimes I felt like I needed to do things to belong there. And it was, as a young, very impressionable kid in middle school, that was just it. You wore Abercrombie. I even told my mom to buy Abercrombie. I thought it was so cool. And I was highly marketed to. But I agree with you that like the inclusivity that we're seeing, and again, the body diversity, the model diversity, everything. Because Abercrombie wasn't just about thin people. It was like white, very white. We're seeing across the board in fashion is a huge step, because I think the big part of it, and speaking from experience, is like It's just like removing the shame of being yourself. The media or fashion or advertisers or marketing, all of that plays a really big role in making people feel shame for whatever body they're in. And we slowly take that shame away and make people feel like okay to walk out the door, to buy this pair of jeans, to ask someone questions.
Yeah, to buy the size that actually is like comfortable on you versus like the size that you feel less guilty about needing to buy. But then you're going to end up looking better in the correct size anyway.
Yes.
That's the whole thing of like, oh no, like I'm not shopping for like the body I wish I had. That's not how that works.
Yeah. The whole size is a mind.
Yeah. Too. And that's like a whole other.
You blame yourself for not fitting into something that you didn't even make. You didn't make that pair of pants. And that pair of pants size doesn't go with the other pairs of pants size that you bought that you fit in. And has nothing to do with you. And it's crazy that we take, if it's already a, like a source of insecurity, it's crazy how we take it on ourselves, like that shame. And as we slowly chip away at it, the more people, we as a whole can feel better about ourselves, just like walking and being in the world, dating, getting dressed, applying for jobs, interviewing, all of the things where we think normally we would be getting judged for, right? For our appearance and stuff.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people that comes from a place of insecurity. So if we all are like working on those insecurities, then we might be less likely to project them onto other people.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing that you can say to someone is something about their body. First of all, you're not creative.
First of all, get better material, bitch.
Get like, better material. And I think that, and I actually think that hearing that people say that over and over as a response or retaliation to that comment has made an impact, because I think the more we say like, and so you think I don't know that, you know, you take that away from them and it no longer becomes a charged word or no longer is an insult. You're just like saying something. But that said, when it's said to somebody who, like with Remy's example,
right,
when that happens and it's just so out of the blue and all you had was just good intentions with those people, and it's just like, and I liken it to a verbal assault, because it was just like out of nowhere and they're trying to hurt that person. Remy, in that matter, I just thought that was really crazy. But if that is something that you were thinking about, you have to think about your own fat phobia. Do you like question your own like thoughts in your brain when you're around or you see celebrities and you have like a fat phobic thought? Like, what's your thought process like?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's the kind of thing where, because of the society that we've grown up in and everything that we see and like we've talked about in the media and on TV and things, like, of course, we all are living in the same kind of thought cloud, I guess. But like, I think it's more just like recognizing it when you have, if a thought like pops in your head that it's like, that doesn't matter, or like, that's not how I like feel about that person. Or like, you know, even if you say like, oh, that outfit isn't like the most flattering on somebody, it's like, that's not like saying anything about them. And it's not like it doesn't have anything to do with like them as a person. I don't know. Yeah. Like the Met Gala is coming up next week. And it's like, I just hope everybody wears like fun outfits and like looks cool. And like, it's not about, oh, I don't know, she could have like cinched the waist in a little tighter. It's like getting to a point where that's not like how you're approaching.
You're not looking your brain at, works.
Right. Like looking at pictures of people or like watching a show or like on Housewives all the time. I mean, like sometimes it's hard. Like I spend so much of my time on social media and stuff in this world where people are discussing these shows, and people are pretty ruthless sometimes. And they're like, oh, like critiquing people's reunion looks or like how they look on camera. And people will just like say the most body shamey things, or like, you know, people will talk about like, oh, she has bad skin or like stuff like that. And it's just like, why is that like what it occurs to you that it's like, talk about how she's boring or how her storyline seems fake or how she thinks she's funny, but she's not, or she's a bad friend. Like there are so many real things to critique that it's like, okay, you're going to be like, she doesn't look thin in her reunion dress. Yeah. Maybe that wasn't the point.
Or not even saying thin or however that person looks, but just saying like, oh, she looks worse this season, when everybody knows status of her, you know, like those kinds of things right. are like sort of not said, but said,
yeah.
like with Jackie from
oh God, yeah.
Real Housewives, which obviously we're not going to get into, but like it speaks for itself. She's very, very thin, and she's been saying she's recovered from an eating disorder. And now she, in the season, she's talking about how she's actually not in recovery and she's still struggling with it. And it goes to show you that thin doesn't mean healthy all the time. So
totally.
I think that there's so much more to unpack in pop culture, but I think from this conversation, like everybody who's listening, just like look out for your own thoughts or things that you see on TV or movies and send them our way. Send them DST@betches.com. Like, because I'd love to keep talking about this because it's really just ever present. It's everywhere. And we are consuming content at the speed of, I don't know what's so fast, light. at insane rates these days. And we don't even know what messages we're taking in without realizing it. So let's just be a little bit more conscious. And when you guys are watching TV, make notes and send them our way, because I'd love to see what you guys are noticing. Well, thank you so much, Dylan, for joining me and us on DST. So you're on two big shows. Tell everybody where they can catch you, all of the things.
Of course. Yeah. I host the Betches podcast, Mention It All, talking about all things Bravo, a few episodes a week. So if you like Bravo, make sure to check that out. And I also host Pop Alarm, which is a little 5-minute pop culture news update 5 days a week, comes out in the morning. So you can just catch up on the day's headlines and make sure to follow at Bravo by Betches. And you can follow me at Dylan Hafer.
I love Pop Alarm. It's like it's the way that I cannot just like scroll through Instagram mindlessly and just get all the news right away. And I obviously love Bravo by Betches because I fucking love Bravo. But everyone, go check that out. And you can follow us at DietStarsTomorrow. You can follow me at Aileen. And you know the DST hotline. Send us your messages. We'll play them on the show. I will issue my response. It's 212-287-5650. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Stacey Wong, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.